Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
All of television history is contained in the Box of Delights.
I've climbed up Nelson's Column once before. These are small.
And put it down in front of Bagpuss.
I'm Julia Rayside. Join me and my guests as we dip into our favourite TV memories.
Suppose Martin Hurley bashing her head like this.
You can't tell me what to do. You ain't my mother.
I love when a plan comes together.
Come and tell us what yours are too.
We've all been told we can't discuss nominations.
It's a bit of car air.
Shut up. With a novel on the top.
I think I'm like you, Lovejoy.
Find us on Twitter at Box Delights Pod and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Warning, this show contains spoilers about The One Show and Matt Baker.
Game of Thrones. The Walking Dead. Westworld. No, that's the West Wing. Westworld. There we go. There have been many podcasts which seek to analyse the complexities, the depth, the plot lines, the hidden story arcs, the beauty of these productions. Quite simply, the world doesn't need another one, which is why we're applying that level of discussion to the bottom of the televisual barrel and scraping it with a weekly celebration of The One Show. You join us at a dark time. Let the One Show theme trumpets ring out the last post as Matthew James Baker, 2011 to 2019, presenter of The One Show, is dead. Dead as in dead air, because he announced on The One Show that he is leaving, and you're probably thinking, did he? What was that like? Well, we'll tell you in due course on this, your favourite podcast about TV's The One Show. Frankly, without him, the world of The One Show is going to be a sadder place. We have already released a dozen Pine Martins into the sky as a tribute. Whether or not Pine Martins belong in the sky doesn't matter. We don't know what they are. No one from The One Show has ever seen one, despite making 12 films about them. The green sofas have lost some of their garish hue tonight. Let us have a minute's silence to mourn the passing of Matthew James Baker, 2011-2019, who is leaving us to go to the great outdoor piazza in the sky. He will forever be in our hearts. Hearts that today have done a handbrake turn towards sadness. But he's not actually leaving till spring, and then some other poor sod will get the gig, so we're going to carry on like before. Cue the other trumpets! Welcome, welcome, welcome to the One Show show. I am John Holmes, and this week on the green sofas, then, a weatherman draws a pop star, Alfie Bo fucks up a juggler, and yes, Matt gets all tearful as he says goodbye to a relieved crew. Joining me to put a fake dog poo on the One Show's pillow this week, a regular tea-tosser, Mark Haynes, and making a debut appearance, comedy producer off of BBC Radio and female of the species, it's Laura Grimshaw.
Hello.
Is here. Hello,
hi,
Laura.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well.
Great.
It's a delight.
Don't care.
To be
that's
here.
Just a question we
okay,
ask at the beginning,
fine.
Like every other podcast does, just to join in and be polite.
Yeah, no one needs small talk.
What I do care about, though, is the big question, have you ever watched the One Show before, or was it this that made you do it?
It was this that made me do it. I think I've probably been on the One Show more than I've, and I've never been on it, more than I have actually watched it. I tend to leave work between 7 and 7.30.
Yes.
And I work in Broadcasting House, so I walk past the window while it's on.
Yeah.
Basically every night.
Wow.
And I considered waving to myself this week, but I
why didn't you? You should have done that. What a moment.
Yeah.
Have you never been tempted to do something in the background?
No, because I quite like my job. I'm slightly worried that this will get me sacked. So, you know, I don't need to actually. Yeah, I can go into the BBC newsroom. I could run around in there. I resist
you
that because I like
to.
Having
Do you see
money.
How responsible BBC employees act now, John?
I know.
Are you learning?
This is the most irresponsible thing I've ever done.
Well, let's pile straight in then, shall we?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, should we start? What should we start with? What should we start with, Matt's resignation? Should we jump straight to that?
It's difficult not to, isn't it?
Anyway, it is time for me to wish you a very early Happy Christmas, because this is my last One Show before the holidays. I would like to take this opportunity to say that at this time of year, I like to stop, reflect and take stock. The One Show has been a massive part of my life for almost a decade now, and I have loved every second of being part of it. But I am going to be leaving this green sofa in the spring.
Big story of the week.
Yeah, it's huge. It's a huge thing. He obviously, you know, waited for us to come off air. And then he thought, well, they haven't been on for 2 months. They're not going to be around to take the mickey out of this.
Yeah.
Well, bad luck, unfortunate news. The one thing that does strike me is he is obviously very emotional about it. You do something for 9 years.
Yeah.
That is a long time. There's a couple of things that he said in his little speech that stuck with me. One is, like you did in your bit, you referred to the green sofa, which I was thinking, nobody refers to that as being a thing that you immediately think of the One Show.
Mm.
You don't sort of go, I mean, it's quite a green sofa show, and you'd go, yeah, know exactly what you mean. No one's ever done it.
No one's looking forward to sitting on the green sofa.
Exactly.
I don't think that's what people are looking forward to, plugging their thing.
To hear it in that, I was like, oh, a little bit of lingo that hasn't caught on.
Yeah,
interesting.
What you get the impression of from that is, because they have mentioned it before, and I've even heard a continuity announcer sort of say, well, on the green sofas on the One Show tonight, as they go into the programme, it's a sort of in-crew joke. You know, it's a reference that they get.
Yeah.
I don't think the nation as a whole, apart from us.
No.
Maybe we've put it out there.
No, but
the other thing is,
as you say, like the nation as a whole, how far has it actually permeated into the nation's consciousness? We do a podcast about it. So we obviously think it's something because we're there, we're watching. People who listen are aware of it through this.
Yeah.
But then you see that thing where you have the fake taxi. That's like that fake taxi porn site, only they're asking random questions to bored people.
Sorry, what fake taxi porn site is this?
they have never even heard of the One Show, let alone the green sofas. So the other thing I loved about it was, you know, he has done it for 9 years. But the way that the BBC works is you couldn't just go back and so have a look at that, his first show. That's not out there. It's not online.
Yeah.
You can't go back more than, I think, 10 days. 14 days of One Shows.
Okay.
So in the future, when people say, what was Matt Baker's career on the One Show like?
What was he like?
What was he like? They'll have to go, well, we haven't got any of the archive material, but there is a podcast out there that twice a week reviewed his output, and this will become his legacy.
I feel like the two of you should push to be on his final show.
I don't know why. I'm waiting to ring to be asked to present
well,
it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's fair. Obviously, you are the natural choice.
There needs to
You're
be.
You're so professional. You're not going to sabotage the green sofa at all.
I would not take a shit on the sofa. I wouldn't.
Stop myself saying
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know. That's what you meant. So BBC of you. So BBC. No, but I don't know why. You know, we're the obvious choice to just go in and do one. I don't think why. I can't see why that wouldn't happen. But it was emotionally. He started to cry a bit, didn't he, Matt?
He did, yeah.
Yeah. I don't blame him for that.
He started crying.
Fine.
He started crying when he started talking about the rickshaw challenge.
The rickshaw challenge for children in need. You know, all that support that you show us, you will never really understand how much that means to me. And so I'd like to thank you. And I'd like to pay you a huge tribute to all of those who've ridden over the last 9 years.
Which did kind of make me laugh. Yeah, yeah, that's how everyone feels about that.
True. He actually, I watched it after I knew he was leaving. Yeah. So I went back. I don't sit there watching it live, you know. I'd love for people to think that I care about the One Show in some way. I really don't. And I went back to watch it after I'd heard he was leaving.
Yeah.
And actually, in the first link, he is trying to keep it together the whole time. So he doesn't mention it till right at the end.
So I watched it, but was unaware. So I didn't watch it live. That would be insane. But I was completely unaware that that was coming. So I watched the show as though it was live.
Right.
And then at the end, he quit. And I was like, oh, shit, I'm doing your podcast. What the fuck is this? What is this?
Yeah, but he was staring into the middle distance.
But I was watching it thinking that I've written down that he was staring off into the distance. Yeah. Like, he wasn't listening at points.
No.
But also his mood was really different to Monday. And I was like, this is like a different person.
Interesting.
And I was thinking that as I was watching it. And then he quit. And I was like, well, fucking hell.
Amazing proper detective skills. Watching it back afterwards, he was actually sort of, he was keeping his chin up and he had his eyes half closed.
Yeah.
Like he was like, you know, like a captain going down on the ship. This sort of thing, you know, with everybody playing in the background. And you could see he slightly didn't care about anything on that show because he was like, big announcement going up.
Yeah.
Just got to get it right.
Got to get that right.
Yeah.
Oddly, on this show, he actually did two things that I thought were very funny.
He did a joke.
He's actually got to a point where he's finally sort of becoming okay at this. And he's just going. But yeah, the joke was really good.
They had the louder and faster.
They had Glenda Jackson in. Yeah.
Right.
And she'd been given some advice from Eric Morecambe. And the advice was louder and faster. And she went, yeah, so louder and faster. And he just went, well, thank you very much, Scandalexa, for joining a joke!
The best notes of my entire career came from Eric.
Go on.
After the first show I did with them, he said, louder and faster. That was it.
That was it.
Hi, Glenda, it's been great to have you on the show. Thanks for coming.
A seemingly spontaneous joke.
Came out of nowhere.
What was quite funny, though, is clearly he was focused on doing his announcement because I know it was meant to be a sort of clever link into the taxi secret quiz, whatever it is. But what he actually did was like, ball and bow, go outside, you're going to sing, we're going to pop you in a taxi, Glenda, and now it's the quiz.
Right, lads, you're going to head outside now because you're going to do that number shortly. Glenda, we'll pop you into a taxi, let's find out how some of you got on when you found yourselves taking part in the One Show secret quiz. Here we go.
It didn't quite work, and he did kind of go, fuck off, everyone, it's about me now!
You're exactly right, because I thought what he's doing here is clearing the studio down, so it is just all about him.
Yeah.
Okay, so Glenda Jackson, pretty big name. She's coming back to TV, so this is Wednesday, as we said, but she's plugging that. You've got Michael Ball and Alfie Boat. I mean, Christ, we'll talk about them in a minute.
And they play the game.
So they're in the studio, they're going to sing outside on the forecourt piazza. But yeah, and he said to them, yeah, you go outside now. And they said, oh, it's quite cold. This was like ages before they had to sing. And it was like, ow, get out. Get out of my room.
It's my bit. It's me.
Yeah, and then Glenda, he just went, he's just going to pop you in a taxi.
And she looked genuinely shocked.
Yes, she was.
Really?
Can I not stop and watch Alfie Bo? No, get out.
I was going to visit my son. No. No.
It was so weird.
I loved the little, his actual sort of speech itself had obviously been sort of quite, you know, he'd thought long and hard about it.
Yeah.
A couple of lines just, again, he said,
I don't think you'd had a couple of lines.
I mean,
his eyes were quite red. Yeah. That was the reason.
He did that great thing of going, well, I'm going to be saying goodbye because I'm off to do Panto at the London Palladium, Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
This is my last One Show before the holidays, as I'm off to perform in the London Palladium to perform in Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
Tickets available, www. But he said, but I will be back in January. And I was like, Jesus, you know, okay, you're going off for like, what is it, 10 days? Relax.
Yeah.
But then he had that thing of, he said, at this time of year, I like to stop, reflect and take stock.
But I will be back to say Happy New Year in January. And I would like to take this opportunity to say that at this time of year, I like to stop, reflect and take stock.
This time of year? Every second of December, I will sit down and I will take stock I will stop and I will reflect.
But I liked that line because he ended his little speech by saying that he's decided he wants to spend his evenings with his wife, Nicola, and he wants to put his kids to bed.
But, you know, I'll be honest with you, most of all, I'm looking forward to spending evenings with my wife, Nicola, and finally getting to put my kids to bed on a night time.
And I love the idea that on the 2nd of December, every year for the last 9 years, he's taken stock and gone, no, I don't want to see my wife in the evening.
I can guarantee you.
I don't want to put my kids to bed.
The 2nd of December, 2020... His taking stock will be, I have had more than a fucking enough of putting those kids to bed.
Sick of this.
I am going back to my job that's in London where people bring me coffee and food.
Man. Oh, it was, I felt a bit sort of sorry for him in a way. I got wind of this on the internet first because obviously the moment he quit, the BBC press office put it out as a clip and then loads of people just started tweeting me. And of course, yeah. I don't watch it live either. So I'm sort of going, oh my God, can't wait to sit down and watch this in the morning. And then he started doing it. But then as you said, he just used it as an opportunity to plug his pantomime. Yeah. And I thought, are you allowed to do that on the BBC? Because remember years ago when you'd watch a programme, it would sort of say during the credits, the continuity announcer would go, and Sita Indrani, who plays WPC Data in The Bill, will be appearing in Puss in Boots at the Coventry Belgrave Theatre.
It's a strange
and
one,
they
isn't
got
it?
Rid of that years ago. But that used to be an actual thing that was obviously contractual for the star to get it plugged
it
on.
Because essentially the BBC are promoting a commercial enterprise that they presumably don't benefit from.
On primetime television.
Yeah, it's funny as well, you do it with someone like Matt, but would they do it with, I don't know, another sort of star that wasn't quite so tea time and cosy? It's a funny one, isn't it?
So I don't watch it normally.
Yeah.
But I thought that they went very heavy, and this is just me talking as a BBC producer, but like the plugs for Frank Skinner's tour and Jack Whitehall's tour, and I thought it was all quite heavy. Like it was all very plugged.
That's
heavy.
The kind of...
I tell people that they can't say stuff like that.
Yes, I've been there when you've told me.
I've been told that I can't.
When I say on the BBC, and John Holmes's book is out now, it tends to go very badly.
I cut it out.
Oh, exactly. And now, with the precedent now...
So much editing working with you, John. And it's not just the plugging.
Yeah, I suppose there's
well,
the
quick... You wait till you hear this back. You're not going to be in it at all.
Neither is that mentioned for your fucking book.
What would happen if you got a comedian in a room, you open their Amazon account, and you look back at everything they've ever bought on that website? Well, this.
Because I was consuming so much peanut butter, I decided to try and get a powdered version that wasn't as fattening.
Your handwriting can change your life.
I regret this book. I regret this book.
Keep Calm and Love Dom Jolly novelty keyring and fridge magnets.
Yeah, I love that. I do have that on my fridge.
£4 you spent on that.
That's My Mate Bought a Toaster, available now from Great Big Al.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The thing about it, I suppose that's quid pro quo. You're saying if you come on for, like Jack Whitehall, for a long, long half an hour, then you do get to push
but
your...
But saying you're on tour or say that is allowed. Like, again, editorially, you're allowed to say, I'm on tour, I'm going to these places, I'm doing this show, my show is about. You can do all that.
Yeah.
But it was like, and the tour is at this place and you can get tickets. You can't...
Quite a lot of the
I've
questions.
I've been told you can't say...
that.
You can't, well, you can get tickets here.
And Matt kept saying,
a lot of detail.
Perfect Christmas gift.
And also the tickets for the UK Arena Tour, which starts February, isn't it?
February.
Yeah, so have a look and get yourself some great Christmas presents.
Tickets for Alfie Bow and Michael Ball, all that sort of
thing. That is a perfect Christmas gift.
Yeah, his own pantomime, I'm sure that's not allowed.
Yeah, and he really, really choked up about the Rickshaw Challenge.
Oh,
I mean, that was, I'm not sure the Rickshaw Challenge is as big as Matt and the One Show bubble believes it is.
Yeah.
And now, the thing about this is, I was reading the Express this morning on the way in.
I'm sorry.
On my phone. So I've thrown the phone away. But they had an article about Alex Jones had basically sort of given an Instagram thing just saying how much he'd miss him and, you know, he's how much he, you know, loves him as a professional and, you know, a really nice sort of tribute. But there was a tweet that some rando had done just saying, about time he finally got recognised for his Rickshaw Challenge and that he was knighted. And they'd CC'd, you know, added Alex in.
Yeah.
And she'd written, "I'm on it." And I was like, this is the thing. We've talked about this before. There does seem to be a sense that Matt Baker really would like to be knighted very, very badly. And I think that Rickshaw thing, he was very proud of the charity. He's very proud of the money it's raised. He's also picturing himself getting that knighthood from Her Majesty the Queen.
I even wrote down, you've only mentioned the Rickshaw Challenge because you want an OB or a knighthood. Yeah. In fact, on his Twitter feed.
Mm-hmm.
His Instagram feed, beg your pardon, because he joined Instagram a few weeks ago and lots of people...
A few weeks ago.
I'm happy to say, are still messaging what's it like under every thank you if you're the listeners who do this.
Do you know as well, you see, he's talked about how he's never ordered anything online. So he is not a big online person.
Yeah.
So he has obviously joined Instagram solely because he knew he was going to be leaving the One Show and it wants to now have that sort of thing of going and here's my shop window.
What's good, gorgeous though, if you look at all the comments, they're mostly filled up with listeners to this going, what's it like after everything he posts?
Thank you.
Which is marvellous. But anyway, you know, Matt Baker's leaving the One Show. This is on his Instagram feed. Angela Scanlon was first in there. Of course she was, because she's presenting it with him. The One Show will never be the same. Broken heart emoji. Julian, I shall be howling on his list show. I think it means last show, although maybe he's presenting one of those list shows. I don't know. Two sad faces from someone called Small Wheeler. Won't be the same without you. Please come back yearly to do the Rickshaw Challenge, as you had a unique connection with those children.
He fucking will.
That's something they said to Jimmy Savile as well. You're right there, BBC producer.
Yeah, great, okay, great fine. Time. Yeah. Having a great time.
Okay, great. I need a sad button for this, says someone else. Sad to see him go, an amazing bloke. Good luck in your new ventures. Thank you for all you've done. Gonna miss you, Matt. You really changed the One Show. And then someone has just written, well, it should be Sir Matt Baker. And that's from Matt Baker. Enjoyed scrolling through that.
Yeah. He also sort of made it very clear, which is a weird thing. He sort of said, I want to make it clear, I'm not leaving the BBC completely.
I should just add that I am not leaving the BBC completely. I'm still going to be on Countryfile and presenting the Olympics too. And I'm very excited about what else is to come in the future.
And there is a sense of going, you people, you love me. You love me. I know, if you thought I was going and I was never coming back, you'd kill yourself in your fucking thousands. Don't put the knife down. Uncle Matty would still be here. You'd be able to watch me doing gymnastics coverage at the Olympics.
Sir Uncle Matty.
Sir Uncle Matthew. amazing. I tell you what, it did. There was a bit of genuine emotion for me, and that was the thought of who will be replacing him.
I can't wait.
And did you see Tuesday's show?
Yes, I did. This is the one with Jack. What was Jack Whitehall, Monday or Tuesday?
Tuesday.
It was Tuesday.
But this
is
the one that Gethin Jones was brought in to present. Now, Gethin Jones mentioned he hasn't done the One Show for about 10 years. Suddenly he's got the call. Probably what? Oof. Maybe less than a month after Matt has told the bosses he wants to go.
Yeah, yeah.
So Gethin's agent was contacted 3 weeks ago. Yeah. This is it. And he had the look of a big, disgusting, cream-eating cat who was like, bring me that lovely contract. Yum, yum, yum.
Hello and welcome to The One Show. We are live with Angelica Bell.
And back by popular demand.
It's been about 10 years, I say.
But who's counting?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, thank you.
It's Gethin Jones, everybody. Oh.
It's nice to be here.
No, it's lovely.
He is like a pot-baked Matt Baker.
Yeah.
He is a Matt Baker who is been, I was going to say something so deeply libelous. But he's like Matt Baker's like dishonest younger brother. There's something about him I find unsavoury.
Yeah, I agree. And I really hope he gets the kiss. Because he was shit at it.
I mean, I don't watch this.
No.
So I watched I watched them in order. I did my homework. I watched them properly in order, all of them as live. Did not find out about Matt leaving in advance. Yep. It was all Monday's show.
Yeah.
Was really bad.
Yeah.
So okay. I thought Angelica Bell hated Matt. Like, that's what I took from that. She was really, like, right from... So I was sort of worried about this and kind of going, oh, I wonder if there'll be enough to talk about. Like, yeah. Imagine if I'm watching a week of one shows where nothing happens and actually it's quite good and there's nothing really to talk about. And obviously,
fine. This has been running for two years and it's not happened yet.
Yeah. We're pretty far. We can record 6 hours of this if we need to.
It was like a couple of seconds into the first episode on Monday... They opened it with like a little advent calendar of the guests that were coming up in the week.
Mm. Oh, God,
and
yes.
It was Matt and Angelica sort of standing up in front of screens, and they had like a little opening window on each one. And Angelica was introducing it, and she said, it's the first day of Advent. And Matt went, it is, but sort of slightly over her. And she glared at him and went, yes, and then carried on.
Now, it's our first show of Advent. It so is. Let's start by taking a peek.
And I was like, what has happened here? Like, why are they... What's going... There's a beef. There's beef. And I just wasn't... And then she genuinely seemed really pissed off throughout the whole episode.
It is a strange one because there is about that thing about gelling. I was actually surprised in a way that they didn't bring Alex back for one show on the one that Matt wanted to resign on.
Mm. Yeah.
I thought that would have been a more sensible thing.
It was much better on Wednesday, though.
I just didn't...
Monday, I found it really weird.
This is Frank Skinner, wasn't
it?
Frank Skinner was on Monday, and you're right about the advent calendar. Now, they've never done this before. They peeked behind these windows or windows or flaps. What are we going with for advent calendars?
Windows.
It's flaps. and so they peeked behind the flaps of the week to have guests that were coming on, not on that show,
but across the week.
Oh, right.
So it was like today and then tomorrow. And
that's not how anyone
Wednesday.
Watches the
so,
one
so
show.
So it was a picture of Jack Whitehall.
Yeah.
And then a picture of Glenda Jackson. And then Matt got kind of annoyed that nobody really clapped.
Nobody got the applause.
No,
died.
Like I don't think they knew who Glenda Jackson was.
No,
the audience. Like it really seemed like they didn't. And then Matt was a bit like, "Oh, you're being a bit slow.
Keep it going. Yeah, keep it going. Keep it going."
Tomorrow night, Jack Whitehall will be here.
It's complete without a dame, so Dame Glenda Jackson will be with us on Wednesday.
Very good. Friday, keeping it going.
MP for Hampstead. That was before they changed the boundary line. That was,
But then Frank Skinner was on the sofa, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And then there was a really odd conversation about Christmas dinner.
Yeah, where they sort of had a bit of an argument about bread sauce.
Yeah.
Because Frank said he didn't like it. Then Angelica was like, well, it's the best. You've got to have bread sauce.
Belle was not pleased about the anti-bread sauce rhetoric.
She was saying it was the best thing, and then Frank was like, "Oh, I don't really like it." And then she was just like, "No, you've got to have bread sauce. If your turkey's a bit dry, you've got to have bread sauce. No.
Definitely bread sauce."
Other than that,
I'm on board with that one.
No bread sauce, I don't like. Oh no!
If a turkey's dry, you need a bit of bread sauce.
It was all really snippy.
It was snippy,
and it was a top speed conversation that they shut down.
Yeah.
And then went into a marvellous handbrake turn, into people freezing to death. And it was it was all jolly and advent calendars and Christmas dinner. And now we're going to Falkirk and everybody's freezing to death.
Now, as the temperatures start to drop across the country, our thoughts at the moment go out to the people of Falkirk.
Due to a major gas fault, more than 8,000 properties have been left without heating and hot water. Mm. Kevin is at Camelon Community Centre in Falkirk right now. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, Angelica. And you know, when something happens...
Okay, so I saw one of those, but with not the context that it was a series.
Yes. I mean, you missed nothing. The first bit did not set up what happened the next day.
The second one dropped out of fucking nowhere on the show that I saw. Made no sense.
So this was on... So this was two films they had over the week. So in Falkirk, of course, they've had no gas.
Yeah.
Some terribly gone wrong with the gas supply. Mm. So all these families are in freezing Scotland.
Yeah, and they were all in like a little leisure centre.
Yeah, in that sort of traditional way. So they'd sent a hapless one-show reporter.
Kevin
the reporter, who doubtless was like, I'm not staying there. You better have got me a fucking hotel somewhere with gas in it.
He was staying with the families. And he clearly wasn't. Like he left it.
He really made that clear, because in the one that I saw, which just started, they just went, there's a gas thing in Falkirk, and it just
opened. Because you watch every day. Everybody watches every day, and you know exactly what they're talking about every day.
This had no setup at all.
Well, Kevin Dwoller spent the night with one of those families battling freezing temperatures, and here's their story.
And they were just like, so we've gone to the house of someone who doesn't have any gas. And he opens up, in he goes, and he just goes, they tried to make it exciting. There's no way of doing it, because you just go, when that happens, it's a cold house. That's it. And he walked in and he went, so let's, oh yeah, it's cold in here, isn't it? And he went, as I walk from room to room, really notice the cold.
Even walking around this house, it's cold. Be quiet, the baby's asleep. Oh yeah, I can feel that straight away. I can feel the temperature just drop from the living room. To the hallway.
And then you have a chat for a minute about the woman's radiator's configuration that she's done.
And that radiator is doing two jobs, is it?
Yeah, one in my son's bedroom's here and then the twins' bedroom there. It's probably fine for a small room, but I'm probably using it beyond what it's capable of doing.
Then he starts shouting at the kids about whether they brush their teeth. Yeah. He made it really clear. He went, well, let's find out how they got on. I came back in the morning.
I'm back this morning to see how Angelina and her four children slept after another chilly night.
Morning.
Where have you been?
Yeah, he definitely was in a nice hotel.
A woman with three kids and a baby. Yeah. And the one show reporter is like, well, lovely to see you. I'm back off to the hotel.
See you in the morning.
I can't get involved. I'm like the watcher from the Marvel Universe. I can only observe. Could you take the baby with you to the hotel?
I cannot.
Gets back in the morning. The baby froze to death because of you.
Well, the best thing was, when he went back to find out how they got on, the woman said, oh, the baby slept brilliantly, actually. First time he's ever slept through the night. The kids also had a really good night, all three boys.
Angeline, how was your night?
Baby had a really good night. She slept all night, which is great. I think, and the kids were fine. They all slept as well, although cold.
Amazingly undermining the whole thing. Yeah. And also, he was going, oh, it's very cold in this house, isn't it? And it's so cold. It's, oh, look, and he's wearing a scarf. And the kids are sitting there in their porridge in short sleeve shirts. Not cold at all.
No, it's Falkirk.
Yeah.
You know, you live in Falkirk. That's like the height of summer. It's -2. They were having a great time.
But the thing in Monday's one was live. Mm. And it was sort of done at top speed. Like, they didn't really have time for it, but they had to set it up for tomorrow because he's going to stay the night and that's what they're going to do. So it was sort of live, and he was kind of running around this leisure centre kind of talking to lots of people, and he accosted the family where they were like holding fan heaters and talked to them. It sounded bad when they kind of set it up going, well, you know, it's freezing and all of this. And then the actual interviews undermined the severity of the situation. And he basically went, oh, how long have you been without gas? And she was like, oh, a day.
How long have you been without gas?
About a day, and nearly 2 days now, actually.
Oh,
and then
in the setup one, they tried to make it sound like it was longer.
Yeah.
Where he went, how long have you been without gas now? And she went, oh, well, this is day two. Tomorrow will be day three.
Yeah.
So, Angeline, how long have you been without heat and hot water?
Well, this is now day two. And tomorrow we're going to go into day three.
You know how the days work.
Yeah.
But you can't just sort of go, how long have you been without gas? Well, in a week's time, it would be 8 days.
In a year. It's going to have been a whole day.
Yeah.
Frank Skinner, by the way, speaking of commercial opportunities, also promoted Hot Wheels.
Yeah,
Advent calendars. What are you doing for Advent, Frank? Well, we've got Advent calendars. We've got a wooden one that we put little Harry Potter figures behind.
Yeah.
Nice plug for Harry Potter figures. Mm. And then we've also got a Hot Wheels one. He said, so every morning we open it, the little boy's got a little car behind the little Hot Wheels. A Hot Wheels.
We have a commercial Hot Wheels. So my son gets a small car every day, and next day I open it. Oh, it's a small car.
Hi.
Yeah.
I've got a Hot Wheels avocado.
You're thinking, really weird.
Come on, really?
How the
rich
live. He
plugged Hot Wheels more than he plugged his tool. That's what it was like.
And then they went to the poor people of Falkirk who had no Hot Wheels or hot anything.
No.
Freezing they were.
No advent calendar.
Cold wheels up here, Frank. Advent calendar flaps have frozen shut.
I can see your mind working there as you go, where can we go next here that will not get me jailed? I'm so glad you couldn't find it. I'm moving away.
Can we go back to Geffen Jones?
Mm. Yes.
Right, because I don't want to skip over him lightly.
No.
Because he could be the new presenter. We might have to deal with him week in, week out come the spring.
Yeah, and he could be the person who makes this podcast far more successful because he is a really strange one. I don't know whether he just came in with far too much confidence, but this was a weird, weird
Angelica
performance.
Was delighted. My old chum.
Yeah,
and was in a much better mood. Than yeah, she was the
but
previous
worth pointing out. I mean, I've made this point time and time again on this podcast. One of the reasons that I don't like Matt Baker's style of presenting is because it's the Blue Peterification of adult TV. That you have children's presenters who are taught to be children's presenters, who are taught to, you know, speak to kids, now doing it to adults, and there's been no shift in the way that they do it. And you can see you've got Angelica Bell there. She came from the same background. You've got Gethin Jones. He came from the same background. There's this sense of they aren't. I mean, it would be great if they went, do you know what would be really good? Let's get someone bright, sparky. That little clip we saw of Adrian Childs.
Oh, yeah, last
when they
week.
Did
yeah.
the Clive
yeah.
James thing. Yeah. You suddenly went, God, he was really good at this. And it's been so long since
good
there was an adult in charge. Yeah, give us an adult. If we end up with Gethin Jones, he started off by just saying what he saw. So there was a little video of Thomas Schaffernacker, the weatherman, where they showed his, you know, in a live piece of TV, his Apple Watch went off. And Gethin Jones, it cut back and he just went, he's doing his best to carry on, isn't he? Yes, we've just seen it.
Right, Minneapolis and Denver, and Denver's very high up.
There's no snow in the forecast.
Oh dear. Well, that's
was
that's
that your
the
watch?
Yeah, that's my watch saying there's no snow in the forecast. Goodness,
did you just
for
trigger that?
Well, obviously it was listening to what I was saying. Apologies for that. That was not part of the plan.
He's doing his best to carry on, isn't he?
They cut to him in the green room, and Schaffernacker is jokingly turning off his watch. And Gethin Jones just goes, he's making sure all his technology's switched
Thomas,
off.
Make sure switching all your technology off. Is switched off,
and
please.
Your phone.
I can see. I can see.
That, he would be a perfect follow-up to Matt because it's another person who is completely without humour.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't.
Yeah.
Actually know that jokes are a thing.
Yeah. That opener they did for Jack Whitehall is...
Oh, now look, a bit.
Jack,
a bit.
Jack Whitehall did not have the best show. But let me make that clear.
I have some feelings in capital letters written down quite angrily.
Why? Let's let you kick off then.
Yeah.
I think so. So, okay. Tuesday's guest was Jack Whitehall.
Yeah, well...
Discuss.
Well, one just on Gethin Jones... I liked him because he did give a little bit of shade to Jack Whitehall, just at one point where Angelica was banging on about Jack Whitehall's fucking dad. And she was sort of saying, oh, we love your dad. And it's so lovely that you want to spend as much time together. And Gethin Jones went, well, it's a way of making money, isn't it? And I basically stood up and applauded him.
Do you know what lots of people love is the relationship with your father, Michael. It's beautiful that, you know, that you want to be with him and you what are you laughing for?
I mean, it just makes money, really, isn't it?
Don't be so cynical.
I have written down, I love Gethin Jones now.
I would say that is one of the rudest things I've ever seen anyone on television
amazing.
Do.
Presenter
it was amazing. Yeah. I loved it because I was so angry by that point and I was so pleased. So I felt like he was kind of feeling, he must have been feeling the same way I was.
What was great about Jack Whitehall's reaction as well is Jack Whitehall wasn't like, a line. Jack Whitehall was just like, the fuck did this guy just say? You know?
It's what he deserves.
Shattering the thin veneer of how showbiz works.
It really did. There is the contract of showbiz, isn't there? That you have to play along.
Yeah.
But then again, that opener they did, which was Jack Whitehall. There's a million ways that you could start with the blank piece of paper about introducing Jack Whitehall. Yeah. You could, you know, talk about elitism and, you know, unearned showbiz nepotism. You could also talk about a stand-up who does sell out huge arenas. And if you've got a guest on, by and large, the best thing to do is to big them up.
Yeah.
You know, you want your show to look big. And what they did with this was they went, we're kicking off the next guest. We're not going to have him on. We're not going to feature him now. We're going to get rid of him.
No, he's got to do it.
He's got to do it.
Time now to meet tonight's first guest. He's an actor, a comedian, a writer.
No, Gethin, he's been dropped.
What do you mean he's been dropped? He can't be dropped. We need him.
No, he's axed. He's gone. He's not on the show.
We can't drop him. We need him for the show. We shouldn't drop him, should we?
No.
No, but he was axed from film Frozen.
Oh, that's true.
And then his big number when he was, you know, presenting the Brits.
Oh,
he was axed
the great
too,
showman.
So
yeah,
I think...
yeah, no, we can't do it. We need him. We need him on the show. I say he stays.
You say so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's have him.
I think it'd be rude, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have him. We're not going to drop him. Please welcome... Jack Whitehall!
He was kicked out of Frozen. They kicked him off. And these are stories. I've never heard of this story before.
No,
about
I
him
haven't.
Not being cut out of Frozen. And
but they had apparently a big joke. His last tour show was all about that.
Got
so,
you.
So,
okay.
This is a thing I learned from watching The One Show.
Again, but not no, many people no, watching The One Show are going to have seen Jack Whitehall's last show.
I know quite a bit about comedy. Yeah. But I was listening to them doing that bit and then Jack Whitehall going, oh, well, yeah, I was cut from Frozen and then I wasn't in Frozen 2 either.
Yeah.
And, oh, no, I was cut from the Brits. And I have written down, sorry, am I meant to be feeling sorry for Jack fucking Whitehall not getting the breaks? Yeah. Because you can fuck off with that and his dad can fuck off as well. And that's before they'd mentioned his dad, but obviously that came around.
Well, again, alienating your audience. There are people at home at the One Show and he's going, I recorded like all this stuff for Frozen. Yeah, but he got paid for it as well.
Yeah,
but it was on the cutting room floor, and then I hosted the Brits. Oh, did you? Yeah, look,
and
here's
they
me.
Said I couldn't
wasn't
sing
allowed
well
to
enough.
Sing well. Oh, I couldn't sing well enough, so I was cut from the song. So I had to stand at the back and mime. And there's someone watching that just going, yeah, well, I went down the food bank earlier, and they were just out of beans. So fuck you, Whitehall.
They
fuck
actually...
you, White Privilege Hall, is what I call you.
Well done. Please do that. Great. They went straight back to the whole thing as well. So this Jackie's like, well, you know, odd way to introduce me. He didn't say that. You could see it in his eyes. But then they went straight back to sort of going, let's have a look at this like clip from your new film. And it went on and they turned back and Gavin just like absolutely zealous, just going, did you see him? Did you see him? And Jack Whitehall sort of goes, yeah, the parrot got more screen time than me. And Gethin's like, we're not going to leave it there, where Jack's made a funny joke. Gethin's just like, let's rewind it. See if we can see Jack.
Time passage upriver.
Please go away.
Did you see him?
You
did you see him?
Guys, you know it's good when a parrot has more lines. In the
they freeze it on him and then it's like, yes, there he are. Not finished. So we worked out it's 24 frames you're in.
Let's see if we can see him.
Rewind.
Wait.
Keep going.
Wait.
There.
Lovely.
There.
Look very smart. Thank you. I thought you were brilliant. We actually worked out that it's 24 frames you're in shot for. Do you get paid by the frame in Hollywood?
That's 24 more than Frozen.
Why have you booked me on this show?
I kind of wonder. Well, either they're trying to make people feel sorry for Jack Whitehall, which he's not an underdog. I mean, seriously. But I wonder if Gethin was annoyed because Angelica was obviously delighted to have Gethin there, but then she was also really delighted to have Jack Whitehall there, and maybe he was a bit jealous.
Yeah.
Maybe he was like, no, this guy is a prick. But I'm the best. You love
alpha,
me.
Alpha
you can only love
other.
One of them. Yeah. I think that's what it was, and Jack Whitehall completely lost. So, you know.
And right here is where we step out in front of part one of this week's The One Show and shout halt and demand to see its papers. Part two will be dropping into your pod area tomorrow. So while you're waiting for that, why not rate and review The One Show on iTunes, and you could also go to podbiblemag.com and vote for us in the People's Choice section. That's right, of their awards. We're not good enough to get nominated by them on our own, so we need your help to make them at least be aware that we exist. Podbiblemag.com and The One Show. Get that into the People's Choice voting bit.
You can actually also vote for my podcast in the sports category,
which
is Wrestle Me. Thanks a lot. Take care. Bye. Love you. Bye.
Shut up.
I'm Mark Haynes, and for the last 32 years, I've been a fan of professional wrestling. My friend Pete Donaldson from the Football Ramble, he hasn't. But in our podcast, Wrestle Me, the two of us subject the greatest spectacle in sports entertainment, WrestleMania, to the kind of rigorous scrutiny that ruins it entirely. GQ called Wrestle Me enrapturing. Shortlist said it's beautiful. And it's a hit with common people too, with well over 400 five-star reviews on iTunes. Wrestle Me, available from all good podcast providers.